It's time for Fox's top college football analyst.
Flat with a play action. Going to go long, and he's got a man there.
The inside story on college football without the SEC homerism.
I'm going to get it like a bull in a china shop.
This is Fridays with Klatt, part of Dusty and Cam in the Morning.
Can you find out if Dalton Ferguson was named after Dalton from Roadhouse?
I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that.
Thanks, Joel.
Sorry.
Appreciate you.
Brought to you on the fan by 808, the Titan of Hawaiian restaurants.
All right, as we do every Friday at this time, it's time to bring on Joel Klatt, Fox Sports college football analyst. Good morning, Joel. How are you, man?
I'm great.
What do you do when you don't have a game to call on the weekends? What is life with Joel Klatt like right now?
That's so funny that you ask that right now. This is embarrassing.
No, it's not.
I had
you're on the toilet?
No, it's not. You're in the jar. Yeah, cup of coffee.
No. I wish. I'm looking at charts for the semifinal right now.
He misses football.
Hey, the semifinal, what bowl game are you calling this year? Are you calling the semifinals?
No.
No, those are on
ESPN. That's why it's embarrassing.
Yeah.
I'm calling the Holiday Bowl.
Oh, the Holiday Bowl!
I just love it. Okay, get off my back. I just love it. Okay,
and that's why we have you on. That's why we love having you on, is because you're all in on football. All right, we were talking about something last segment, and you tweeted out after the Pac-12 championship game. So, if you're Oregon football and you could go back and reschedule this season, would you play Auburn or play Wofford to open the season at home? And we were talking about how Troy Dye quote tweeted you, and he said Auburn. I'm going all in on Auburn. I think a lot of fans, though, they sit there and they go, hey, schedule to get into the playoff. Do you think that's a problem in the Pac-12, especially, is scheduling to get into the playoff?
Well, I don't know if that's a Pac-12 problem in particular. I think that this is one of the biggest issues that we have in college football, to be honest with you, is just the inequities in scheduling. And I think that there's inequities in scheduling across conferences. I think that there's inequities in scheduling within conferences. Excuse me. I think we should do away with divisions, personally, because I think within conferences we have inequities that make it really difficult for some teams to compete for a conference crown versus others. For instance, if I were to say, you know, hey, we're going to do away with divisions and even out schedules across the entire conference, and then we're going to pit the top two seeds, if you will, or top two teams based on tiebreakers into the conference championship game, don't you think teams like Michigan, Penn State, LSU before this year, Auburn, Florida, don't you think those teams would jump at that chance?
Yeah.
Because I think that they would. You know, because within their division, it's really hard, you know, to overtake the big dog, if you will, when maybe that big dog has a little easier schedule, or when in the opposite division, teams are winning those divisions with a far, far less difficult schedule than you play. I know that's the case in particular when it comes to Penn State and Michigan, and sometimes Michigan State, is that they feel like the burden of proof is on them versus teams like, let's say, Wisconsin or Northwestern, who have won that side of the division in the Big Ten. So I know that you asked more specifically about, you know, overarching scheduling, but I think that a quick way to fix scheduling in general would be do away with divisions. And then I wish we would get to the point where we were all playing the same schedule makeup. I know it's hard to schedule particular teams, right, and have matchups that are scheduled 4, 5, 6 years out that are going to be good. We're going to try, but we do that with name brands. And for me, I think that schedule makeup could be more important, making sure every team in the country plays, you know, let's call it 10 Power 5 opponents. I think that that could really help overall in terms of college football.
You know, Joel, after Larry Scott's comments, we talked about earlier in our show, we were mentioning about how, you know, you're going to leave out the Pac-12 yet again. I mean, of course, they didn't earn it, and that's kind of where it sits. You're looking at this conference, and you mentioned earlier in the season talking about how you feel that this is going to change. It's going to – you felt like your connection to the people that you knew and you spoke to, that this college football playoff is going to change. Larry Scott says, oh, well, sit back till 2026, but the conversations are in motion. How realistic do you think that this changes before 2026?
Way more realistic than he made it out to be. I think he's trying. Listen, these people that are in power right now, that it's hard for them to come out and set a date because contractually they've got relationships for that playoff already set, whether it's broadcast-wise, you know, advertisers, so on and so forth. So those people can't say publicly like, oh, yeah, this thing is changing, because they're contractually obligated to a certain term. That doesn't mean that it can't grow. There's language in there that suggests that it can, and I think that it will. I think that time frame that he said is way too short. I would expect that we would have an 8-team playoff by the time the 2023 season arrives.
That is in 4 years. So I'm set, or actually it's 3 seasons from now. The 2023 season would arrive in 3 seasons. I am excited for that.
Four seasons? Math is hard.
Math is hard.
It's 2019, but 20.
Yeah.
Four.
That's okay.
We just finished the 2019 season, though.
Yeah, but we still have 3 seasons to go. Okay. So.
Yeah, I know. So math is hard. It's too early, Joel. Don't do this to me. I'm a communications major, okay?
I'm just saying. It would be like it wouldn't grow until the 4th season.
Okay.
So.
There we go. All right, that's why I went to 3rd grade 8 times. Joel Klatt is our guest. He's a Fox Sports college football analyst. You can hear him on the call of the Holiday Bowl. You said you're breaking out charts for this year's college football playoff. Joe Burrow, he kind of came out of nowhere, 201 Heisman odds at the beginning of the year. Seems like the odds-on favorite. How impressive is he as a college quarterback, and does he have the chops to be that number one overall pick in the NFL?
Yeah, I think that he is and has played himself into that position, if that's what that team wants to do. Remember now, you know, we always assume like, well, this guy's the best player, so he's going to get taken, or he's the best quarterback, so he's going to get taken. You know, we'll see what that team decides to do. But as far as quarterbacks go, I think he's played himself with the Tua injury, with Herbert's play this year. It was good, but there were still some questions about Herbert on his film. Oregon fans are not going to want to hear that, but there's questions about whether he can get to 2 and 3 in a progression. He tends to at times show a little bit of flinch when his first throw is not there. And so because of that, Burrow's pocket awareness, Burrow's ability to manipulate the pocket, Burrow's ability to throw the ball on time and on target has been uncanny. He's running a system right now with LSU that is basically an NFL system. So there's not going to be the learning curve that some of these players have coming from their college systems into the NFL. I'll be really surprised if Joe Burrow is not the first quarterback taken. What an ascension he's had with Joe Brady as that passing game coordinator. And listen, Joe has been phenomenal. I'll be shocked if Joe Burrow is not the Heisman Trophy winner. And you know what? Rightly so. He's had the best year out there, and he's also done something at LSU that we've just never seen. He's done something in the SEC that we've just never seen. So he's had a remarkable year, and I think he's certainly played himself into the Heisman Trophy, and I would be, again, very surprised if he's not the first quarterback taken in the next year's NFL draft.
Well, someone that's played the quarterback position, talking a little bit about what Lamar Jackson's done at the NFL level. You saw him in college. Everybody knew. I don't know if anybody knew it would take it by storm like this. Do you think watching college football quarterback play now is that when you're a young athlete or anybody, does it open up the system or the position for more athletes doing this more than when Michael Vick did it, when we were all watching it? Is this going to change the way college football recruits the kind of athlete and watching it? Or is it still going to be, hey, if the guy can stand in the pocket and throw and make those progression throws, is that going to be what we see?
Well, I don't think anything has changed. I think that for a long time, most programs have been looking for a player that can extend with his feet and do both. You know, I think that's the holy grail, is a guy that can do both. Cam, what's interesting to me is that my son's on the route.
I love the background. Yeah,
the 2-year-old. By the way, he's butt naked and he's just rolling around and he just looks at me and he's like, "Hey, Dad." And I'm like, "Yeah, what's up? Hey, buddy, can you say, 'Hey, what's up, Portland?'" Say, "What's up, Portland?" kiss it? Oh, now you're shot.
Now, see, put the camera down.
Now you're shot.
My 2-year old does that all the time.
And now you're shot. Oh, gosh, that's funny. Okay, so to me, Cam, the quarterback position, see, I think football evolves from the bottom up, not the top down. Okay? So for years now, we've been seeing at the youth levels the best player not be the running back. He's actually the quarterback, mm-hmm. you know, because the ball, he touches the ball on every single play. Then that started filtering into the high school levels. And what people saw was that that equated, you know, less talented teams to more talented teams. And you could have one guy that would have a basketball-like effect on your team, you know, where one great player can lift your whole team up. So what you've seen is that an athletic quarterback can minimize the effect of a bad offensive line. It can minimize the effect of not having great players everywhere else, and you can still move the ball, create first downs, and create touchdowns. So what you saw is that lower-level colleges that didn't have the ability to recruit great players would put their best player at the quarterback position. Then all of a sudden that seeped into higher levels of football. And then the best teams started doing that. And then what you had is a supply and demand issue. So now the NFL is sitting there as a league, and you're trying to draft quarterbacks. And if in the past you would have like 9 pocket players and 1 mobile quarterback, now you have 9 mobile quarterbacks and 1 pocket quarterback. Mm-hmm. So to me, we're always talking about like, well, is this guy changing the style of this or that? I think supply changes the style. I think that supply changes the way that these NFL teams have to innovate and have to adapt to what they're being offered from the college ranks. So, again, if you look at it not from the top down, but from the bottom up, I believe that football has been evolving for years. You could say even decades towards the better athlete being at quarterback. And now what that is doing is that has affected the supply and demand chain to the point where that's all that is being supplied to the NFL. So everyone says like, hey, this or that guy changed the style of the NFL. I just don't think that that's correct. To me, talent is what ultimately provides success, not your style. For instance, if we're talking about Lamar Jackson, I think it minimizes Lamar, and it's short-sighted and unfair to Lamar to say that his style is what makes him successful.
Right.
I think Lamar's talent is what makes him successful.
Yeah, no question.
Right? Like talent is what ultimately wins at any level. I hope that answered you. I mean, I think that was a bit of a soapbox, but think of top, you know, not top down, but rather bottom up.
Joel Klatt, college football analyst, here I'm on the Holiday Bowl. Which you'll have USC, yeah,
USC
Trojans.
In Iowa. There we go. I was really hoping. Well, never mind. I don't want to speculate on that. Mm. Just think. All right, we all know who. We all thought like, hey, this is who USC should go hire.
Right.
And then I was imagining like, oh, what if USC and Penn State played in the Holiday Bowl? And I was like, that could have been interesting.
That would have been
great.
Didn't happen. Nope, didn't happen. All right. Well, hopefully we'll talk to you next week. Go put some clothes on that kid, huh?
yeah, I think he got a, let me see, hold on. Yeah, he just put on his little pull-up diaper and he put it on backwards.
Attaboy.
He's very proud.
Attaboy. Yeah,
proud father.
All right, Joel, have a good one, man.
Thanks, Joel.
I mean, what cares does he have? He's like, screw it, I'm good.
I want to go back. I'll put diapers on him.
He's living the life right now.
Yeah.
Right, man, have a good one.
Later, fellas.
Joel Klatt, Fox Sports College football analyst. How about that, 2023?
I believe him 100%.
He said by the start of the 2023 season.
Too much money
season,
involved. Too much more.
Would be that we would have a college football playoff in, 4 years from now, but the start of 3 more football seasons. Because we got to play 20, 21, 22, and then boom, it would be here for 2023. I am excited for that. If that is the case, expansion, mm-hmm. I don't care if it's 6 or 8. Give me more.